Happy Friday, Bristol Bay. It's July 20th. You're listening to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG Public Radio. I'm your host, Austin Fast. You've probably noticed we've been tapering off our coverage this week, and this is our final regular show of the season. We're moving our fish news back into our regular newscast so our staff can focus on more in-depth reporting rather than daily play-by-plays. Don't despair, though, because the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report will be back next Friday with a special final episode to wrap up our summer-long coverage of salmon season. Coming up tonight, fishermen can earn quality bonuses for chilling their fish, but that's not so easy when ice was in short supply this summer.
Ice is a hot commodity out there, and I'm not sure everybody gets it as quick as they want it. It's a price deduction come delivery time, you know.
We'll also hear about how local processors mostly rely on college students to keep fishermen honest, which sometimes can be a challenge.
And so I can say this with a fair bit of authority, fishermen lie.
And later in the program, we'll catch up with Bristol Bay management biologist Tim Sands and Travis Ellison to hear how they're thinking about management decisions in the Togak, Nooshigak, and Naknek-Quijack districts. Those stories and more are all coming up on tonight's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Deep Sea Fisheries Incorporated, working to provide top-quality Alaskan seafood with a commitment to sustainable sourcing. Serving Bristol Bay salmon fishermen with the Big Creek Fisheries Shore Plant since 2008. More at deepseafisheries.com.
Before we get into anything else, though, let's dig into the numbers of our daily run summary. Curry Cunningham of the University of Washington Fisheries Research Institute predicted strong east side catches on Wednesday and Thursday before the run would start tailing off over there. He was right, as Naknek-Quijack caught 425,000 sockeye on Wednesday, and on Thursday it got its third biggest haul of the season at 623,000. Igigek's catch was 137,000 on Wednesday and 113,000 yesterday. Ugashit caught 198,000 on Wednesday and climbed to 230,000 for Thursday. After the three Eastside districts had giant sockeye per driftboat delivery averages on Monday, Ugashit was still hot with 1,048 per delivery on Wednesday, but Naknek-Quijack and Igigek cut their numbers in half. Let's turn now to our latest daily run summary from Thursday's information. As of Thursday, total run to Bristol Bay reached just over 54.9 million. Our preseason forecast was 51.3 million, if you recall, and we passed that on Wednesday. Thursday's total catch across the five districts was 1.34 million sockeye. Looking over at Igigek, Igigek's cumulative harvest is 1.8 million fish. Igigek River escapement yesterday was 17,000 sockeye. Total escapement there is now 1.55 million reds. Add that up, and the total run to Igigek district so far is just a hair below 6 million. Out of a preseason forecast of 9.1 million. Looking at the Naknek-Quijack district now, as I mentioned, it had its third largest catch of the season yesterday at 623,000 fish. The season total catch there has grown to 6.35 million from a preseason forecast harvest of 8.9 million. Daily escapement for Naknek-Quijack was at 409,500 on Thursday. The Quijack River had escapement of 285,500 yesterday. The Quijack's cumulative escapement is now over 4 million, erasing last week's concerns that it wouldn't even make the 2 million bottom escapement goal. The Naknek River reported 20,500 fish escaped on Thursday, and for the Alagnak River, 103,400 escaped yesterday. Cumulative escapement for Naknek-Quijack is now 7.6 million. Total run there has leapt up since last Friday to reach 13.9 million, within reach of Naknek-Quijack's preseason run forecast of 16.6 million. Area management biologist Travis Ellison told me earlier this week he thinks we could meet that forecast, but we'll keep watching for you. Ugashit is going strong after taking several days off fishing last week. Yesterday, Ugashit hauled in 230,000 fish. Season total catch for Ugashit is now 1.78 million fish. At the Ugashit Tower yesterday, the crew counted escapement of 82,000 reds. season cumulative escapement for the Ugashic River is 1.08 million. That brings Ugashic's total run so far to 2.86 million out of its preseason forecast of 2.9 million. Catch in the Nooshigak District is dropping as boats leave the district. Total haul on Thursday was 348,000. The season total red catch for the Nooshigak is at a record-breaking 22,713,000. Looking at the Nooshigak's escapement, on Thursday, 19,000 sockeye passed the Portage Creek sonar. That brings the season total there to 1.5 million. The Wood River Counting Tower spotted 73,600 reds pushing up toward Aleknagik. Cumulative escapement there is at a record-breaking 7.35 million. Over at the Igushik Tower, they saw 36,000 sockeye yesterday. That brings the cumulative total to 590,900. All rivers combined, Nooshigak escapement has hit a cumulative 8.99 million. Total run to the Noosh is now 31,702,000, well ahead of 2018's predictions of 21.8 million. Going out west, Togiak caught 27,200 on Thursday and 33,300 on Wednesday. Season cumulative for Togiak is 251,000. Out at the Togiak Tower, they saw 21,400 reds yesterday. That puts season total escapement for Togiak at 137,600. Togiak pushed over its minimum escapement goal yesterday, meaning all five districts have now met those goals for 2018. Area management biologist Tim Sands extended fishing in Togiak for an additional 48 hours through 9 a.m. Sunday. The regular weekly schedule then kicks in on Monday. The total run to Togiak so far is 415,100 out of its preseason forecast of 860,000 fish. Let's step back to take a look at the entire bay now. Total harvest bay-wide on Thursday was 1.34 million sockeye. That puts our season total harvest so far to 35,565,000 fish for all five districts. Escapement across the five districts was 658,900 on Thursday. That pushes Bristol Bay's total escapement to 19.36 million for this summer. 2018's total run has now reached 54.93 million, and it pushed over the preseason forecast of 51.28 million on Wednesday. Changing gears now, let's take a look at your latest numbers on sockeye per drift boat deliveries across the bay on Thursday. Ugashik fell back slightly to 1,048 reds per delivery. Igigik dropped sharply from a couple days back to 584 sockeye per delivery. Naknakwijak was at 708 fish per delivery yesterday. On Thursday, Nooshigak averaged 801 fish per delivery, and Togiak had 227. Per regulation, July 17th is the last day that fishermen must register which district they're choosing to fish, so we don't have any new details on how many boats are out in the districts for you. And that is your daily run summary for Friday, July 20th, based on tallies of Thursday's catch and escapement. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG. We'll be back in just a moment.
Support for KDLG comes from Nomar in Homer, Alaska, working year-round to make gear for Alaska fishermen and offering brailer and slush bags for the fishing season. Information at nomaralaska.com or 1-800-478-8364.
Support for KDLG comes from Alaska Eagle Eye, locally owned and operated with car, truck, tool, equipment, and adventure gear rentals at the King Salmon Airport. Committed to getting you on your way in Bristol Bay. Reservations at 246-CARS.
Welcome back to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. We're glad you stuck with us through the numbers. First up tonight, we do have some sad news to report. A fisherman has been missing since he fell overboard into the Ugashik River on Thursday afternoon. 25-year-old Grant Hildreth Jr. fell off the fishing vessel Cape Gregg at about 4 p.m. Thursday, according to Alaska State Troopers. Officers said crew members attempted to toss a flotation device to Hildreth, but he went under the water and hasn't been seen again. Witnesses said he was not wearing a life jacket. The U.S. Coast Guard and local vessels continue to search for Hildreth. Troopers said his next of kin have been notified.
Mm-hmm.
Many Bristol Bay salmon processors give bonuses to fishermen who can chill the fish sitting in their boat's hold. That's not so easy, though, when ice is in short supply. I hit Dillingham's small boat harbor and found several fishermen who reported an ice shortage on Nooshigak Bay this summer. Here's that story. Bristol Bay's Nooshigak Fishing District pulled in more than a million sockeye on 8 separate days earlier this month. Before this summer, it had only done that twice in Bristol Bay's history. Keeping all those fish cool proved problematic for fishermen who still rely on slush ice. Captain Nick Soteropoulos of the fishing vessel Flyin' Tiger says he'd like at least 1,000 pounds of ice for every opener to keep his catch cold and earn that chilled quality bonus from his processor.
A couple of the busy days, the Bristol Maid, the ice barge, was limiting to 500 pounds and there was a lot of fish being caught that day. And it's like, it's enough ice to fill up a few holds, but we didn't really know what to do after that.
It wasn't just the ice barge that struggled to keep up with demand. Tenders also couldn't hack it. Here's deckhand J.R. Hawkins of the fishing vessel Bays.
When they bring it out from town, they announce over the VHF that they've got bags of frozen water molecules, and it's a big race to see who can get the ice first. Ice is a hot commodity out there, and I'm not sure everybody gets it as quick as they want it. It's a price deduction come delivery time, you know.
Trident Seafoods and the Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation team up to run the ice barge near Clark's Point. Neither group would comment on how often they limited ice this summer. BBEDC President Norman Van Vactor says they had to prioritize ice for Bristol Bay residents over out-of-state fishermen.
The issue here in the Nooshigak this year was one of volume. 30 million fish on this river system here, obviously, is just off the charts. And so the demand for ice this year was also off the charts.
Van Vactor's right when he says volume was up this year. Fish and Game records show 674 boats were fishing Nooshigak on the traditional season peak of July 4th this year. That's twice as many vessels as the district has averaged on Independence Day for the past 4 years. Considering that, Soteropoulos doesn't fault the ice barge for putting in limits.
Everybody was doing the best they could, but given the number of boats that were here, it was just kind of a mess trying to keep all the fish cold.
Fewer boats were in east side districts as the run trickled in several days late there, so Van Vactor says the other barge near Naknek didn't have any ice shortages. Just over 10% of Bristol Bay's fleet relies on ice to chill their fish. Another 27% turn over unchilled fish to processors, and the final 63% are drift boats with refrigerated seawater systems. Those figures come from a 2017 Northern Economic Study for the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Van Vactor says they'll discuss how to prevent ice shortages for next summer, but he's also eyeing long-term change for the fleet.
For folks that might have had ice problems, may this be the catalyst for them considering RSW systems and becoming more self-sustaining on their own as well.
He says personally he loves the quality of slush ice fish, but that RSW allows for much more efficient fishing. He realizes, though, that outfitting boats with RSW is a pricey endeavor. He promises BBEDC will continue helping local fishermen get ice for the immediate future.
A lot of the smaller, older fiberglass boats just are not that readily adaptable. They're going to need to be continually supported by either ourselves and access to ice from the ice barge or from their processor.
In the end, Van Vactor calls Nooshigak's ice shortage a minor issue when compared to other parts of Alaska like the Chignecks, where even subsistence fishing is questionable this year. And Soteropoulos feels confident that enough of his fish were down to temperature to earn that chilled fish bonus from his processor. Now, most processors haven't announced this year's prices, but to give you an idea, last year Trident paid fishermen an extra 25 cents per pound for chilled, floated, and bled sockeye. As we just heard, Bristol Bay seafood processors pay millions of dollars to fishermen for premium sockeye. But how do those companies make sure they're getting their money's worth? The answer is they use mostly college students to keep fishermen honest. KDLG's Mitch Borden has the story.
Maddie Van Kieren practically dives halfway into a bag filled with hundreds of sockeye to find the coldest ones in the batch.
I literally will have blood like in my hair at the end of this. It doesn't gross me out at all.
She's doing this because she's one of the many quality control technicians, or QCs, hired for the summer to assess the salmon being sold to seafood processors in Bristol Bay. They're mostly college students or in their early 20s. Currently, Van Kieran's on a salmon tender checking the sockeye. Boats are dropping off after a day of fishing near the Naknek River. Whenever a boat pulls up, she greets them with a standard list of questions.
What are some of you floating?
Then she examines a sample of the boat's catch to see if the fish were stored in water, blood, and she also checks the salmon's temperature.
39, 38, 37. They're doing a really good job.
If sockeye meet certain standards assessed by QCs like Van Kieran, fishermen can get quality bonuses from the companies they're selling to.
They kind of look at us like the cops a little bit, some of them, you know, like these people are getting so much money or not because of like what I'm writing on this piece of paper.
The industry is paying fishermen now tens of millions of dollars a year in quality bonuses.
Mark Buckley says today that money makes the stakes high for both fishermen and processors. Buckley is the founder and owner of Digital Observer, the company that employs the majority of the QCs in the region. Historically, Buckley says, Bristol Bay processors and fishermen didn't really care about the quality of the fish they caught. He can attest to it personally from his days as a fisherman.
When I was on the boat and I wanted to fish for dinner, I would go pull a fish off the top of the brailer. I wouldn't even reach down a few inches. I'd pull the fish that was the freshest because, you know, we'd sell them to the companies, right? But we wouldn't eat them ourselves.
For decades, fishermen would cram the sockeye they'd catch into unrefrigerated spaces for hours. Then they'd head to the canneries where the salmon would be stuffed and cooked in cans. But around the early 2000s, things started to change. The Bristol Bay salmon market began transitioning from canning sockeye to selling fillets. This meant processors needed better meat.
You can't sell a badly beat up fish as a fillet. It just doesn't work.
So companies started paying fishermen to chill their fish in ice or cold water and bleed them to prevent bruising. These improvements dramatically raised the quality of the fish coming out of Bristol Bay. To ensure they're getting their money's worth, processors are using QCs on their tenders to keep fishermen honest, which sometimes can be a bit of a challenge.
Well, you know, I'm a longtime Alaska fisherman myself. I fished here in the bay for 22 years. And so I can say this with a fair bit of authority, fishermen lie.
For the most part, though, Buckley says most fishermen have adapted well to the changes.
No one's holding a gun to their head to do these things. It's all because they want the extra money.
Back on the boat, Maddie is finishing up her shift. She says it looks like the fishermen had a good day.
They had a lot of fish today. People were coming in with 18, 20 brailers, which hasn't been happening, so hopping day.
With that, she's done with work until more boats begin to line up with their hulls hopefully packed with pristine Bristol Bay sockeye. In Naknek, I'm Mitch Borden.
Togiak is traditionally the last of Bristol Bay's five districts to spin up. It's a much smaller fishery and more local. Boats that have fished elsewhere in the bay can't transfer into the area until late July. KDLG's Avery Lill talked with management biologist Tim Sands about how things are shaping up over there.
So I know Togiak is one of the last districts to pop usually, but it looks like fishermen over there plugging away. How does it look to you in Togiak right now?
Well, the escapement looks really good. We're kind of at the halfway point, I guess, traditionally, and we're on track to we're projecting over the mid-range goal. So that's good, and that's why we extended fishing over there. The catches also look pretty good.
And are you hearing anything about the quality of fish? I know when we talked to somebody earlier in the season, he said the fish were looking not too small to him, I think.
You know, Togiak usually has bigger fish than everywhere else, and from the daily catch reports, it seems that's the average weight seems to be, you know, bigger than what we saw here in the Nooshigak for sure.
Gotcha. And is there anything that folks should know about how things are going to go in the next few weeks?
Well, like I said, we extended this week for the Togiak River section, so we can do only a maximum of 48 hours extension. We did the whole... We did the maximum. So it'll close 9 a.m. Sunday in Togiak River section, and it'll open as scheduled for all the sections at 9 a.m. Monday. And we'll evaluate next week whether an additional extension is warranted. And then, of course, nobody can go over there until the 27th of July if neither boat nor permit can fish over there if they fish somewhere else in Bristol Bay until 9 a.m. on the 27th.
In the Nooshigak District, Sands says that this week will mark a shift in management.
At some point here in the next week, we will switch over to Pink and Coho management. We'll shut down the Wood River Special Harvest Area and be looking at our Coho escapement and Pink escapement and making decisions based on those numbers.
He said the Wood River Special Harvest section will likely remain open through the weekend. Over on the east side, Ugashik is fishing continuously through the end of the month. In August, the district will revert to its fall fishing schedule. Igigik is similarly open until July 30th. In the Naknek-Quijack, biologist Travis Ellison got on the phone with Avery to talk about how he's thinking about management decisions in his district.
Sounds like things are still going very strong in the Naknek-Quijack. We're hearing from our eyes over there that lots of boats not in the harbor, lots of people out fishing. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I'm seeing the same thing. We had a good catch yesterday with about 625,000. That's not bad for July 19th. Not really sure how it's going today. I've heard the Naknek side's pretty slow, but the Quijack side seems to be still have some fish in it. So that's good to see, and also kind of typical that the Quijack and Alagnak run a little later than the Naknek. I think looks like the Naknek's starting to slow down. We're seeing the escapements have dropped down to about 20,000 yesterday, and it's going to be kind of similar today. So it's a sign of things tapering off, but it's hard to say how long the Quijack might still have some fish coming in.
And in terms of management, how are you thinking about that going through this weekend?
Well, we end up with enough escapement up the Naknek, the Quijack, and the Alagnak that we've opened it to continuous fishing. It'll be open to continuous fishing through about August 3rd, 9 a.m. Friday, August 3rd will be open. So, and then we'll have the first weekend closure of the fall schedule.
Just in terms of like the quality of fish and the size of fish people are seeing, are you hearing anything different now that we're getting toward the end of the season?
We've been seeing some nice fish, particularly up the Naknek, some good healthy sized at least, you know, in the different age classes, the 1-1s, the 1-2s, the 1-3s, quite a few jacks up there this year. So that's good signs for the future. And with the Quijack coming in strong late here, you know, it's a good sign that that system's still healthy. I know it's looking really bleak there around, you know, well, after 4th of July there. It was not looking good at all, but it's obviously fine now. We're coming in really close to forecast, actually.
Preseason forecast to the Naknek-Quijack was 16.6 million. The run there is now sitting at 14 million. And now a quick note on salmon prices, since we've been getting a lot of calls here at KDLG about that. I called processors across Bristol Bay today and got a standard answer from Togiak to Naknek that they weren't ready to release prices yet. The one exception was Copper River Seafoods in Naknek. They're only accepting iced, bled, and separated fish. Copper River's price for sockeye is $1.30 per pound. They'll pay $3 per pound for king salmon bigger than 11 pounds and $2 per pound on kings under 11 pounds. They're also paying 25 cents per pound on chums. We'll keep checking and hopefully have more details on prices for you next week on our Fisheries Report wrap-up show. And now we've got some messages to the fleet. This one is from Marie. She says, "For my love Aiden, who's fishing in Ikuk, I miss you very much and can't wait to see you. You are doing an awesome job. Thanks for all your long hours and hard work. I love you. And hello to the rest of the Aberg family fishing in Ikuk." Hope I said your last name right. Apologies if I got it wrong. This next one is to Jesse Osterloh. "Just hoping the long-haired one is enjoying his time with Leader Creek again this summer, and his mama wanted to let him know how very proud of him she is. Hopefully he'll be able to eat salmon again at some point in the future." Good luck with that, Jesse. Dito from the Togiak Tower is requesting Stevie Wonder's "I Was Made to Love Her" for Perry Lee. Also from the Togiak Tower, Kate sends a shout out to Mike, John, and Maggie on the fishing vessel Selkie. She says, hope y'all made it. Wish I could have spent time on the boat with you. I'll catch you on the other side back in Homer, sending my love. Kate is also requesting the song Appalachian by the band Super Saturated Sugar Strings. Kate and Dito will get both those songs on after the show. And just a couple more messages from the Bedell family. This one is to the ladies of the Kindred Spirit. They say, fish on as long as they come. Here's to the best season ever. Love you, Lauren, from Mom and Dad Bedell. And I hope I got your last name right. Apologies if I butchered it. This one's also from the Bedells to Wade on the Shawnee. Your San Miguel Fisher friend is now in the Ugashik and hopes to meet up with you at the end of the season. Hope all is going well, the Bedells. And we have a personal message going out to the Bedells from all of us here at KDLG Public Radio. We want to thank you for your incredibly generous gift that you sent to us here at the station. We've been enjoying it all week, and we're probably all going to gain 20 pounds thanks to you, the Bedells. All right. All the rest of you out there who haven't sent your message out to the fleet, you have one more chance to get your message to your loved ones. It's next Friday on our final wrap-up fisheries report. Please send your note to Avery, that's A-V-E-R-Y, at kdlg.org, or call us at the station at 907-842-5281, and we'll include it on next Friday's show.
Support for KDLG is made possible by generous support from the Bristol Bay Fishermen's Association, advocating for fishermen. Online at bristolbayfishermen.org.
And now we have the answer to the riddle from Wednesday's show. The brain teaser first appeared in the magazine Popular Mechanics. Let me reread it for you in case you don't remember. The problem is, you have an 11-minute hourglass and a 7-minute hourglass. You need to measure exactly 15 minutes. How do you do it? Well, the solution is you flip them both to start, and then when the 7-minute glass runs out, that means 7 minutes have passed, obviously. At that time, you flip the 7-minute glass over again to restart it. Then, 4 minutes later, the 11-minute hourglass will run out. That means the total time elapsed is 11 minutes, obviously. It also means that the 7-minute hourglass that you just flipped over again has 3 minutes remaining. And that also means if you flip it over at that moment, there will be 4 minutes left until it runs out, because 11 minutes have passed and the 7-minute hourglass will now measure out just 4 more minutes. You get exactly 15 minutes when it runs out. As fishermen used to timing out your openers, I hope y'all got that one. And now, here's one more nice, very short riddle for you to puzzle out before our final show next Friday. In a room, there are 53 bicycles. There's also a table in the middle of the room. A dead man with a bullet hole in his head is slouched in a chair, face down on the table. What happened? Let me reread that one in case you didn't get the first time around. It goes, in a room, there are 53 bicycles. There is also a table in the middle of the room. A dead man with a bullet hole in his head is slouched in a chair, face down on the table. What happened to the man? We'll have the answer to that riddle for you on next week's show on Friday, July 27th. That's about it for us tonight on this final show of our regular Bristol Bay Fisheries Report season. But before we go, here is your marine weather forecast. Tonight, there's an east wind at 20 knots, seas are at 4 feet. All day Saturday, watch out, there's a small craft advisory. East wind at 25 knots, seas at 5 feet. For Saturday night, that small craft advisory continues. Southeast wind, 20 knots, seas at 4 feet. On Sunday, there'll be an easterly wind at 20 knots, seas are at 4 feet. All right, that's all I've got for you tonight. Thank you so much to my coworkers Avery Lill and Mitch Borden for your contributions to tonight's show. I'm your host, Austin Fast. If you have any stories to suggest or comments on our work, please get a hold of me at austin@kdlg.org or call the station at 907-842-5281. Also, please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for news, photos, and videos between our fish reports. In the meantime, thank you so much for spending this entire past month with us. It's been an honor and a pleasure. We hope you enjoyed the fish reports and that they were fantastic and informative and entertaining for you. Please stay safe and good fishing if you're still out there on the water. We'll be back with you for one more wrap-up show next Friday night at 6 o'clock.